Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Well, to borrow the camera lady's words, and action. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with him. Well, she started it. Yes. Dwight, what's up?
Cool your side, Dave.
Sorry.
If it's not you, then it's you and, you and David, basically, like, keep talking about it. It's just instantaneously comes up.
Just keep switching. Today is we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics here on Eagle FM, and that is food, or, the lack thereof.
Today, I don't want to call it difficult. I also don't want to make it sound so overtly happy, and then the listeners find out how much we are super, super serious. But today I realized, because I tried looking at this report that we're basing our discussion on for today.
Yeah.
Also factors in that they assess this every 2 years. I was trying to find, because it's a large interactive document. I was trying to find, is there precise mentions of Namibia specifically? But
No.
For the better part.
I tried that, believe me.
I can only find interactive sections of Southern Africa.
Yeah.
They split up Africa into the four regions and other particular aspects in terms of understanding, what we are trying to understand from this discussion of why did I close this thing? Interactive sessions specifically of what the discussion around food security looks like.
Yeah.
Now, first and foremost, Helmut, I'll let you introduce the other part of today before I actually get into the sobering reading, which is basically in the foreword of this report. But yeah.
I'll leave the foreword to you. I'll just, go a couple of pages after the foreword.
Yeah.
Now, just to lay the foundation for today's discussion, we're going to talk about the 2026 state of food security and nutrition in the world. That's a report coming from the World and Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations that was in collaboration with the UNICEF, World Food Program, World Health Organization, and the International Fund for Agricultural Development. So Dwight pointed out earlier that they compile these reports. It's a biannual report that they put together every 2 years, and now. They're just looking at, we more often look at food security, and we have had the food security discussion even here at home locally in Namibia. But to look at, people's access to food and the availability of this food and the affordability component, because there are multiple factors that makes a part of the whole food security discussion.
Yeah.
Now, this report, which is the state of food security and nutrition in the world, looks at it from a global perspective. And they are looking at pretty much the same, aspects of the food security discussion that we would be looking at if we were looking at this discussion here at home. And that's you're looking at how available is this food, and how affordable is this food, and we are zoning into nutrition here, because we are looking beyond just having food and having food at the table. We are also looking at the not just the one's ability to have access to food, but their ability to have access to different varieties of food that gives them different nutrients and minerals and all that. Which it turns out it's not that easy to do, because I came across one of the debate of the healthy eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming out of the UK.
Yeah.
One lady pointed out that, you know what, if you look at the average income earners in this, you know, if you look at the average income being earned by an individual, that's basically either, you know, in Europe or in the US. And you compare that with the, you know, with the price of vegetables, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Yeah. One lady argued that, you know what, if you look at the price of vegetables and the average income being earned by an individual, you know, you're just looking at the lowest income earners. They can afford, you know, a carrot or an apple. So one guy came in with a very compelling, you know, argument where he said that you have to understand that, for the amount of money that a carrot costs, yes, you are right, an average income earner can afford that carrot.
Mm.
But how are they going to eat that carrot on its own? Because for the same amount of money, they could have bought a bucket of fast food to feed everyone. So when you say so that means when you talk about affordability of healthy food,
mm.
are you talking about affordability of healthy food enough to make a meal or just an individual ingredient to the entire meal?
Mm.
Yeah,
is it part of something?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, okay. Yes, you can afford an apple, or maybe you can afford a cucumber, or you know, a green pepper. You know, but is it enough equivalent to what would enable you to feed, you know, the entire family if you went for, all you can eat type of, you know, sized meals.
Yeah. Helmut, it's actually a good thing that you mentioned there. Now, the reason why, just for the listeners to know, the reason why I first zoned in on trying to find, is there a specific mention on country focuses?
It talks about Namibia.
That's the reason why I went to Australia. And firstly, is there anything being mentioned about Namibia, so on and so forth? The interactive platform where this report is contained, which is the food and agriculture's particular sort of like, what do they call it? The digital library, but it's actually two. When they release a new report,
yeah.
It falls under their knowledge products, but it's also somehow contained in a different scenario. But still, it's a good thing you brought that up. Yeah, slightly to me. Yeah, just there. Sorry, guys. Just if you guys are asking, we're busy doing like videography here in studio.
I'm playing cameraman.
And directors and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the reason why I looked at if there's going to be specific country focuses, and which obviously would have been difficult because, I mean, it would have been like an extra 200 pages per country.
Yeah.
It would have been ridiculous. The indications were... but I can say, from a Southern African perspective,
yeah.
It seems like the various factors that they were measuring us under. Remember that there was a specific section under Chapter 2,
yeah.
Which looked at anemia in women, deaths before birth, or something like that. But things related to access to food aspects.
There's a stunted growth being among the things that they're looking at.
Yeah. A lot of the particular measurements that Southern Africa was weighted against seems positive.
Yeah.
It seems positive. If you don't know what you're looking at in that graph, you would just assume the picture looks very strong and healthy, which it technically is from the graph. I'll explain it a little bit later when we get to that graph.
Yeah.
But when we look at when we've spoken back, when was it, 2024, about the malnutrition discussion in Namibia.
Yeah.
And when NDP6 came out last year, remember when I interviewed that guy from that the civil society about the nutrition component or contribution about, you know, trying to understand nutrition, and is mentioned like in two sections of NDP6.
Mm-hmm.
In the first part, it's part of the agribusiness and agri-industrial development agenda in that first pillar, and then it forms part of your like healthy eating component here in, what was it, the overall society one, which is the third, the human development pillar of NDP6. And the questions that I asked him there was, okay, what are we looking into basically? Because Hamid, here's the thing, up until today, you and I and the rest of Namibia, we don't specifically know if there are still any continuations or perpetuations primarily of lack of access to food? Or is there some sort of a malnutrition scenario taking place? Even though the person might be eating, but before that, ad break.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah. You gotta love this continent. Anyway.
Yeah. If you guys are wondering what we're laughing about, well, it's a little bit of an announcement that came through from ECOWAS. That's primarily it. Yeah. If you don't know where ECOWAS is, it's technically a West African community. However, so in terms of understanding, Helmut, like in seeing results. Now, you and I, we are urban-based. Urban-based, you also referenced this yesterday in yesterday's discussion.
Yeah.
We have access to food.
Yeah.
The only thing you need is access to money to get access to the food.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's the peanuts that you buy from the
wonderful lady,
the wonderful taxi rank. the vendor there, the taxi rank, which is $5 a pop. A peanut contains iron and other particular minerals, nutritious minerals,
plant-based fats and all.
You get bananas there for five pop a banana. There's another vendor right next to her.
Yeah.
Because I've also, in some cases, occasionally bought from them as well.
Yeah.
So the discussion primarily is, do you have access to money in order to afford the food? Because there is an overall financial system to support in Namibia. The money needs to flow.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to like the FAO report, obviously they went and aggregated things, let's say in African context, they split Africa into four quadrants. Or five, technically, if there is a Central African aspect. But there is a starting point for us to start from, for you to understand primarily what comes from this report. What is this report highlighting? Now, as mentioned, this report's name is the Food Security and Nutrition in the World Reports. Or its name is the State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World. You don't need an economist to explain to you whether there's food or not in your life. You just have to go to the shop and look in your fridge. Okay.
Don't look in your fridge this time of the month.
Yeah, some of you might be dubious in terms of that you don't have food in your fridge, but you have access to food somewhere else. So I'm just letting you also know, I don't trust some of your potential observations, which might include me as well. I only have water there.
Yeah, believe me. This is why I say this time of the month, don't look in your
water.
Fridge.
Water and onions.
Yeah, unless you are a teacher, a police officer, not a good time to look in.
What do you mean? Then you know they would have stocked up, the police officers, the teachers.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. Well, they already stocked up. Those ones are out of this.
And they're the ones also bragging with the KFCs at the office. We know that. So, from that particular perspective, you guys know, we all know, in a Namibian context, there is food. Now, here's where things get interesting. So, a short abstract, which is a short summary from the report itself, states and cites, despite sustained gradual improvement in recent years, global hunger and food insecurity remain far above the targets that are set by the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. They estimate that 645 million people face hunger or faced hunger in 2025. Remember, this report came out earlier this week. It assessed situations in 2025. Hence, you were basically taking a view of what was happening in 2025 and looking at it in this report. Another dimension is obviously also that they mention here that beyond ensuring access to sufficient dietary energy, populations must have economic access to safe, diverse, and nutritious foods. Poof. It's what we've been saying.
Safe, diverse, and
nutritious. Since 2024. The FAO is basically confirming our statement 2 years later. Thank you, FAO.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Because we obviously identified it. It's not about just growing food willy-nilly. It's not just about the president, the vice president, the minister of agriculture or fisheries, agriculture and land reform showing up to provide a kind word and words of support to rural communities. The rural communities can grow the food and eat the food, but then they are subsistence, Hamut.
Yeah.
But then what about the rural communities who don't grow food? What about the rural communities who are not horticulturalists? They're not crop farmers, that they're potentially livestock farmers. What if they are the rural communities who are who believe in the power, the strength of the of cattle herds? They are not crop farmers as well.
So and you then end up in a situation like something that I've learned about Mongolia. Mongolia is very elevated.
Not just elevated, they have. They have, it's technically savanna grasslands.
Yeah, they do. But it turns out they don't do a lot of crop farming.
No.
Yeah. They are, you know, they are into meat.
Sheep.
They sheep, they farm a lot of, they are predominantly, you know, animal husbandry.
Yeah.
And they, you know, even culturally, they eat a lot of meat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Their whole, technically, majority of their diet now.
Yeah, it's meat.
Is meat. Because they've got sheep and goat farmers.
Yeah.
And in their meat balance is also horse meat.
Yeah.
Just so that people know.
Yeah.
But the concerns from there have been also that if you look at Mongolia, okay, it's a homogenous society. There's one cultural group in that whole country with one language. A homogenous society. They have similarities like us. I think they're like 3 point something million. We are 3 million. Or they are close to 4 million. And they have that equal rural-urban split as well.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, man. They are literally like us in some cases. So let's say if you go home now, and you go visit like that story that you told us about if you know, when your dad comes from Angola, this side and stuff like that, and you guys had to go across the river.
Mm-hmm.
It's situations like that. Yes, they know where the closest urban settlement is.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people live out there on the steppe, on the Mongolian steppe. The steppe is like the...
of towns.
Yeah, the steppe is... Helmut, there's not even like a formal road. It's a two-track that you have to get to the person.
Yeah, and most of them are still, you know, nomadic in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah, and... they have basically, I think they have kept up their tradition of being one with nature. It's amazing how much they can, you know, have this, thriving family set up one day and then the next day they, you know, everything is made in a way that you can easily just, pick it up and move to a different location.
Mm. Now, in Africa's context, we have a mixture of various groups that are both predominantly animal husbandry and predominantly crop cultivation.
Yeah.
Now, another dimension that they cite here, after where I left off that basically gives evidence to the particular fact that you and I have been preaching for the past 2.5 years, is the next sentence that follows on to this that brings us to Africa.
Yeah.
Yet... healthy diets are unaffordable for about 2.7 billion out of the 8 billion humans, for 2.7 billion people worldwide, with a crisis deepening particularly in Africa. Well, Africa is a mixed bag of issues that you have to look at. If you go to each country and you do analysis of current like peace and security or overall stability, dimensions and measurements. In an African context, you will then have to weigh how many countries actually have elements of instability versus those that are stable. Because if you are stable, you can technically, you know, look after resource, manage resources, evaluate in terms of where things are going wrong, where things are not going wrong. You know, you've got freedom.
What's needed where, and you can easily, you know, move pieces to
get the job done. Yeah, and you're in a comfort zone, basically, to properly plan your country's economic direction.
Yeah.
From the top of my head, basically, you can start from Sudan. You can start from Somalia recently.
Yeah.
You can start from, who's the guys? Mali. You can start from Mali because of start of this month, but end of last month, basically, when those jihadists show up, those two jihadist groups.
Yeah.
You can start from, there's another country, where the guys were also, Burkina Faso, Helmut. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me tell you. So it seems to be an actual information blackout of what's actually happening in those three misfit countries. I will still call them misfits.
Yeah, that's expected in place like that.
Yeah. So, I recently watched back on Sunday, a report by, as it once again, France 24, they're on YouTube, and because the only way I can get, you know, sort of like access to understanding what's happening on the continent when we are preparing for our shows and looking into, you know, continental things and so on,
yeah,
is watching these European government funded news agencies that have presences in Africa. So the France 24, it was the Deutsche Welle people, one of the two. They had an interview with the government spokesperson of Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
It's a colonel, military in his military fatigues.
They expected.
And they asked him, there are reports coming out that in your rural areas of Burkina Faso, the Islamic insurgents are running haywire. They are the dominant presence there. And homeboy said literally there in front of the camera, no, it's pure propaganda. Everything is under control. Definitely, obviously, just to speak the opposite of what is the reality. So when we start from dimensions of peace and security, first and foremost, you can immediately identify that in some cases you will not get the full picture in terms of information about what's on the ground in some African countries.
Yeah.
So they cite specifically that food is becoming more unaffordable in an African context, predominantly in Africa, according to the FAO. And then they highlighted, just for me to end off on, that the biggest pressing challenge they say here is exploring the structural drivers behind the persistently high cost of a healthy diet. I then hand over to you, Helmut, on that scenario.
Okay, let's have I think one of the reasons why it was somewhat a little easy for me to prepare this subject is because of my Friday sessions with Itani Childline Lifeline discussions. Because those kids are basically, well, shown a little bit of light in basically the art of eating. One thing I've learned from them, especially the presentation that was done last week Friday by Kachanawas. It's more, it goes beyond eating.
Mm.
You know, you can have the food on your table, but the question is, is it the right food?
Yeah.
So it goes beyond just you having access to food. When you look at it from that perspective, you begin to realize that there are multiple angles of looking at this. The first discussion, obviously, that we're going to have is how many people have access to food. That's just food in general. When we get to the point where enough people or all the people have access to food, we're going to have to start having a whole different discussion and I think that discussion have already started for those that have access to food. The question is, are they eating the right food? And now, Now, that discussion brings up also an interesting part of this report, which is, okay, when you look at, when you're talking about the lack of food, it more often spills into the, it more often spills into the, into a lot of factors, including political instability that you just pointed out, and one which is, the affordability component.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for a lot of people that have access to food, that access is also questionable in terms of, is it the right food? Why does that sound familiar? Because that discussion to me sounds like our employment discussion. You can easily say, okay, no, this number of people in this country don't have jobs, and these ones have jobs. But the people that you are looking at, that you are categorizing as the people that have jobs, that doesn't mean that's the end of the discussion. You still have a lot of discussions to have with regards to, those that have jobs, the amount of money they are earning, is it enough to earn a living, to have disposable income at the end of the day, or are they living, in survival mode? And this is the state of of employment in Namibia, not the state of unemployment. We know that unemployment is just going through the roof in Namibia. But even if we put a pause on the unemployment discussion in Namibia and talk about the people that are categorized as employed, we still have a lot to discuss with regards to how much are they earning?
Yeah.
And is it enough to live on, or they're just living on survival mode? Or do they have to, pull a few strings left, right, and center to make ends meet while they are, as they go through the month?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, for me, this discussion of, of nutrition and food security is somewhat the same way. You have two categories. Category one, you are talking about, you can basically split people in two main categories. Those that have access to food and those that are struggling to have access to food. But, that doesn't mean that if you have a category of people that you have categorized as they have access to food, that doesn't mean that's the, that doesn't mean that's the end of the discussion.
Yeah.
You still have to talk about the food that they have access to. Is it in the varieties that is needed to be categorized as a biology term or life science term, balanced diet.
Mm.
Yeah, because
although these guys prescribe a healthy diet.
Yeah, a healthy diet.
Yeah,
yeah, a healthy diet. Now, yeah, I think that's the correct term.
Because balanced is part of the healthy part.
Yeah, I think calling it healthy is much more
over encompassing. Yeah, so it's a political term.
Yeah.
Food and agriculture.
I know, right? So calling it a healthy diet, because I know, believe me, my fellow, pup enthusiasts, it's kind of difficult to spend the whole week without eating pup.
Mm.
Nah. Julius Malema once made a joke, about pup when he said that, even when we go to Europe and other countries, for all this, whether it's a business or pleasure, but mostly when it's a government role, public office responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they go to all these European places, they will be given all this type of fancy food or whatever you classify as fancy food. After eating that, he will look at his homies and go like, right, now where do we go and fight pup?
So they are pup enthusiasts.
Yeah. Because it's very standard. Look, I've tried going through the whole week without eating pup. Yeah. I just can't. At some point, I'm gonna cook pup. I think it's more of a muscle memory at this point, because it's just carbohydrates. It's not very different from bread.
Mm.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's just carbohydrates. It's just sugar, which is full of energy. Outside of that, you are not eating much, when it comes to nutrition and minerals.
Mm.
Yeah, which is why I think that combination of of pup and the relish, that's where the relish is where you have a lot of things changing here. But the pap is just is either mahangu, sorghum, or maize.
Yeah,
yeah. Those are the three main varieties that you'll find. But thanks to to, you know, this commercial size, you know, maize meal producers, now you have mostly maize type of mealy meal being dominating the, you know, the kitchen in terms of pap.
Yeah.
But the now the relish is where you find, you know, whether it's vegetables that are dried or the vegetables that are fresh or fish, depending on the region you're from, or meat, or, you know, you have a lot of varieties in terms of, you know, you have a lot of varieties in terms of relish. That means, when you look at a traditional, take for example, Kavango pap based, well, let me just say, you know, Africa pap based type of diet, the main source of nutrition and minerals in terms of variety is the relish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the pap, the pap, hey, that's a, just it's carbohydrate plus something, carbohydrate plus something, carbohydrate plus something. So, when you look at it, but I think when you talk about a healthy diet now, I now, you know, the question that came in my head when I first saw the whole, you know, food security and nutrition was, how much have we done in terms of research and development from a nutritional standpoint to see, of all the types of food that we classify as traditional food, how many of these, how many of these contains, you know, magnesium in terms of nutrition? How many of them contains, you know, what type of fats? Yeah, how many of them contains what type of, you know, potassium, magnesium, iron, zinc? And, well, if you're a guy, you need zinc. You don't want zinc. No, you need zinc. You can Google the rest. Don't ask me. Now, here's the thing. I think, I'm pointing that out because I believe it's somewhat one-sided when we look at it from the type of, unless you are buying it from the shop, it's not healthy food. Actually, I would argue, the food that you buy in shop, it's either, it's all coming from agriculture, even if it's in a fancy package. The only thing that's most likely to be artificial, maybe it's one of those food colorants and food additives, which again are known to be very terrible. But the thing is, it's all being farmed somewhere. So at the end of the, of all types of food is a farmer. Very simple. Now, what you begin to, the question I kept asking myself is, when you look at the food that we just think of, forget your fancy Western diet. I eat an unhealthy amount of pizza, believe me. So just put all that aside. And let's focus on what we call traditional food, or, you know, that, the type of food that is native and traditional to you. Have we looked at what type of nutritions it offers? Because it has nutritions it offers. The fact that it's from the village, that doesn't mean it doesn't have nutrients. It does. You just don't know it because, well, chances are very high you haven't done the research. Because, well, you just looked at it and went, you know what, this is traditional food. Now, one of the reasons why I have trouble with the term traditional food is I believe most, if not all, types of food is traditional to someone. And the example that I like to use is take those of you that like to eat, raw fish, for example. I have a lot of friends that are very fond of sushi. I've tried. Not my thing. Maybe I grew up, you know, cooking the fish first before eating it. Some people just take it like that with chopsticks and dip it in vinegar or some type of sauce and then eat and like, right. Nah, I'm still gonna microwave the heck out of that thing. So, I think we have to, for Africans, I know it's not pointed out in this report, which is why I'm saying for Africans, let's look at the type of food that is traditional to us and ask ourselves, have we done enough, research, to find out, what type of nutrients is contained in what type of food? Because, you will be shocked if you didn't know already to realize that the food that you have that is traditional to you may contain all types of nutrients that your body needs. You don't have to go shopping to Paris for you to eat healthy. So, think traditional. Think single quotas. That's Kapana Paradise. Before I angle, you know, one straight up here. So what are some of the things that this, you know, this report looks at? I'm sighing because the report makes it look like the whole world is starving, which is, it's fair to say, depending on which part of the world you find yourself. And we have had a fair amount of rainfall this, you know, this previous rainy season. So that means we have done, farming, a lot of farming. Now, here's one thing that I've come to, here's something that I've come to discover when it comes to, when it comes to food and the nutrients they offer. And this is why I'm taking us, this is why I want us to forget our grocery stores. Because I know that's where much of the affordability component is coming from. But it turns out it's, you can eat healthy just by eating what you call traditional food. I'm not saying don't eat your KFC and pizza. God knows if you stand in between me and Double Stack with, with extra cheese and extra barbecue, there's gonna be World War III. So, I'm pointing out, one thing here. One of the biggest, I have just learned, one of the biggest source of magnesium and zinc. Zinc is one that is needed for my fellow gentlemen, that is needed for your testosterone production. This is not health advice. Take it at your own, risky. Actually, don't take it. Consult your nutritionist, doctor or lawyer or politician for any legal, medical advice that I'm sharing with you. Now, here's the thing. You know what you need for maximum zinc? Pumpkin seeds. Just pumpkin seeds. Now, I grew up in the environment where I have eaten pumpkins. I have not eaten pumpkin seeds on purpose. When they are dried and you roast them, but it's rarely pumpkin seeds. And I'm just talking about me. It turns out pumpkin seeds are rich in, among other things, magnesium and zinc. Now, both these minerals are needed by your body. Now, when it comes to all kinds of fats, all kinds of vitamins, the food that you just classify as a traditional food has all kinds of nutrients that you are reading about in books, where the examples they are using is, you have this in orange, you have this in asparagus, you don't live in Spain, and you have this in, and we tried that, it really didn't work out. We kept accusing asparagus for our, semi-arid, environment. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back on the other side, I will just share with you a few points of over why I'm saying the report makes it sound like the entire world is starving, which I pointed out earlier. It's a very valid point to make, because there are a lot of countries that are mired in, in conflicts, which makes planning, let alone getting to, having access to food, very difficult. But for those of you and I that finds ourselves in Namibia or Botswana or wherever it is that you're listening from, if you have political instability or if you have political stability, not instability, if you have political stability, cherish it, because we don't have to worry about all the chaos that comes with political instability. So we can just sit and start talking about, if you want to get this nutrients, what type of food should you eat? Now, I think this is where the public health sector now should actually invest more. I haven't used that service in the public sector, but I use it a lot in the private sector, where every time that I go and see the doctor, if I want, I can pass by the nutritionist. They have a whole department of nutritionists, where the ones that will basically educate you on what to eat. And believe me when I tell you, you don't have to spend millions of dollars for you to eat healthy. You just know, you just have to know your food. And yes, that includes your traditional food. If anything, your packaged food is something that you should eat seasonally. You should eat occasionally, not all the time. And, you know, well, if I get punched in the face, I'm blaming Kachana. I'm not punching her in the face. She's a kid, and I'm not a genocidal maniac. I'm just blaming her in a very funny, sarcastic way. Anyway, so a quick break, and we'll continue on the other side. Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we're talking about the state of food security and nutrition in the world, courtesy of the World Food and Agriculture Organization. Yeah.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
And welcome back. We continue. Now, let me rush you through, three of my favorite foods that I eat a lot with smoothies, which are very affordable. Let's start with, let's start with garlic. Yes, I know it's been, I've been told, you just eat a lot of that. And, by the way, you know that whole salsa that you all have been eating, those, raw onions and, raw tomatoes, nutrition's top notch. Minerals, top notch. So, if you're eating salsa, keep it up. Keep it up. And I don't have to tell you about, you don't have to explain, meat is just, delicious. If you are vegetarian, I'm sure you have alternatives of that. Now, for those of us that decided to live and die carnivores, we're just gonna, keep doing our thing. Now, here's the thing. Garlic, which is about $5 a bulb, but $5 a bulb. At least that's where, that's how much it costs where I buy it. And it's not in some fancy shop somewhere. Nope. Just at the open market. Like, like a single quarters type of open market. So, if you look at, the peanuts example that, that Dwight used. Peanuts. If you are not allergic to it. Peanuts have, have fats. Now, for those of you that, for those of you that have been, exposed to peanuts long enough, then you know that, when you boil peanuts, because, the way we eat it at the village is, you first roast it, and then you pound it into powder, and then you,
And then what happens?
You add water, and then you just boil the water out, because when you boil the water evaporates most.
Okay, but then what are you making?
It becomes a very delicious soup, a very oily delicious soup.
Why does this sound like the bean paste that the Japanese and the Chinese and the Koreans love?
Which is why I'm saying I don't think it's that. If you look at it from a traditional food standpoint, I don't think it's that expensive to eat healthy.
But do you know what happens to a vegetable or a produce product when you apply heat?
You denature the enzymes and,
Yeah, and the nutrients, and thus we then have to...
Well, don't cook the Holy Spirit out of it.
That's what I'm telling you, Helmut. nutrients get destroyed by heat.
Yeah.
So now we're giving here recipes live on air, and then people are going there, oh, okay, Helmut and Dwight said...
You're telling me these guys have not eaten roasted peanuts? You are not an African if you tell me you have not eaten roasted peanuts.
Yeah, so that might be the probability.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest with you. Unless you have, you know, unless you live with me, you are never gonna know that I eat garlic. But I eat garlic every day.
Yeah, garlic and onions are one of the two best. I don't know if an onion qualifies as a herb, but I know garlic qualifies as a herb in some way. Yeah. But they help with certain particular things with your blood.
Yeah.
Your blood and specifically like your other digestive elements, for example, like your kidney to bladder through. We all have a urethra and you know, wherever we are, just letting you guys know.
Yeah.
We all have that and it helps with that as well.
If you say that you don't have a urethra, that's what you get for dodging biology lessons.
Yes. Yeah. So we all have a urethra, man or woman. It's up to you to guess to go and find out what the garlic and the onion contribution is. But the thing is now, for example, like with onions, when I prepare my onions and scrambled eggs, whether it's breakfast or dinner or lunch.
Scrambled eggs for dinner?
Yeah, scrambled eggs and onions.
Oh, okay, scrambled eggs, onions, and rice.
No, but I only now eat my scrambled eggs. I only eat scrambled eggs.
Just scrambled eggs?
Yeah. I don't bake, you know, prepare the eggs anymore, like sunny side up. I don't do it anymore. Because I don't do it anymore because it doesn't make sense preparing the egg with the onions like distributed on it.
Yeah.
And it just looks, it looks like a weird omelet situation.
Yeah.
So I rather just go for
just the scrambled eggs.
And that way, the onion is somehow incorporated when you stir them together and fry them together.
Yeah, yeah.
Then basically, the onion's flavor goes, you know, permeates into the scrambled egg. Yeah. Now, in a scenario like that, I've also, in my own amateur chef, home cooking situation.
So it's not just me.
I've realized I can't like over bake the onion. Or over, the word is not sauté, you know, when you slightly sizzle it. The word is, but it is, because sauté was actually French, but it's like a slight frying situation. But the downside is the contribution that onions have in such a scenario is that technically I've destroyed 50% of the nutrients in the onion already.
Okay. Now, for that, you need salsa. So,
salsa?
Yeah.
Also, technically, the onion then needs to be prepared differently to incorporate it into with the scrambled egg.
Okay. Now, Dwight, when last were you at Single Waters?
Way back.
We need to go to Single Waters. Look, when you're buying a panna, it's standard. To cup, to have it with salsa.
Yeah.
And salsa, this is basically, you know, this is raw onion and onion and tomatoes basically chopped up together.
And sometimes a little bit of green pepper.
Now, the thing is, that's why the cooking is very important, like you pointed it out.
Yeah.
So, it turns out, when the more you cook the food, the more you sort of like reduce the amount of nutrients that it has.
Yeah.
And that's why I like salsa because, because it's raw.
Yeah.
Now, I used to like peanut butter and banana and a raw egg smoothie until someone told me that, you know what, you gotta watch out for salmonella, man. I was like, oh,
actually,
salmonella.
With what?
Raw eggs.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, actually, you make a good point.
Yeah.
Now you just decided, you know, to switch back to scrambled eggs.
Yeah. But then it's also, you don't get the full protein component that
a
raw egg gives you versus a scrambled egg.
Look, I'm not trading, 100% nutrition for salmonella.
But then, yesterday I had a discussion.
Yeah.
If you want, 100% nutrient value as well, a peanut is there.
Yeah.
If you boil a potato,
yeah,
but also to an extent, man, because it's either deep frying the potato or boiling the potato, whichever one, because a potato on itself is a very nutritional thing.
Yeah, but now on that one, I think I would go with boiling, because deep frying, look, water boils at 100. Cooking oil is like sunflower boils at 300.
Well, here's the other thing also about the boiling. Remember, it's water that you're using basically to dry out water particles in the potato.
Yeah.
So that is the other component about the boiling thing as well. Because have you ever seen what the water looks like after you've boiled potatoes?
It tends to like yellowish.
A greenish yellow, yeah. The same with if you've ever boiled mealies or corn.
Yeah. Same thing.
That is the nutrients.
So I'm supposed to drink that?
Those are the nutrients.
I think this is the most fascinating part about nutrition, because you begin to realize that it's more than just taking stuff and shoving it down your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to understand first of all how to prepare it.
Yeah.
Now look, one day a very cool boss, I'll call him cool because I'm incorporating him in my story. Decided, okay, you know what?
You might get sent an invoice.
I know, right?
Yeah.
There's an eating establishment just down here. There's, you know, this side of Utopia.
Utopia, yeah. Actually in Utopia.
They're exactly just in there. So, went there for breakfast. There were, you know, just three of us. So, you know, he ordered his food. Everyone is ordering. So I ordered, you know, fried eggs. My egg shows up. It's runny.
Oh, it's sunny side up without turning it around.
Yeah, so I look at the guy. I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm black. So when I say fried eggs, believe me, when I say, I mean, you know, come half bent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Super dead.
Yeah, like really,
super,
really.
Super
really,
dead.
Yeah, like I want it to come in a way that the salmonella doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
The chef and the salmonella, the chef won the fight.
Yeah. So basically, I think the idea behind, cooking methods like rare and medium rare is for the preservation of the nutrients.
Yes.
But like I pointed, like it was pointed out to me that you're gonna have to be very careful, because there are also upside down that comes to eating, especially meat products that are not well prepared.
True.
Yeah.
It usually comes from chicken, and it usually comes from pork. It's usually chicken and pork.
Throw tuna in that bucket.
Tuna as well,
yeah.
If not stored properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even after you, if you take it from the can, so it's usually fish, chicken and pork products, but red meat products.
Yeah.
Okay, pork also forms part of red meat, basically. But the other red meat products.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much that people suffer potentially salmonella attacks if you know.
Salmonella is not in red meat. I think that's just in chicken.
Chicken and fish.
Wait, there's salmonella in fish. I didn't know that.
Yeah, certain fish, bro. You mentioned tuna is also problematic, but there's certain
tuna is some kind of worms that are part of the part of the living organism. It's sort of like take for example, a human being. A human being has all kinds of microorganisms that makes up you and me, which is why. You have to brush your teeth all the time, because if you still have all the food residues, the microorganism in your food, in your mouth eats that food and they excrete the acid, which then erodes your teeth, because your teeth is a base. Yeah. I mean, it's calcium.
And it's usually if it's a sugar.
Yeah. If it's sugar, it becomes even aggressive.
So you guys that have those black cavities on your teeth, that's because you don't brush your teeth properly.
Yep.
Just letting you know. We're not dentists, we read. That's all we do.
World War III is about
to... I believe that I had an argument yesterday about someone where I tell the person, well, the difference between you and me is I'm reading and I can see that you're not reading. But yeah.
You just said to rub it in their face.
No, I do. my guy, when it comes to information, and you know your part. Nah?
Yeah.
And you can even prove and verify it, Hamid. You can prove the source.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The downside is people make statements about, so a 5-year-old is an expert on TikTok. I was like, what? Okay, the whole argument, Hamid, was the difference between, I told the person, a YouTube video short and a TikTok video is the same thing. The person argued against me. I said it's the same thing. They're short format. The one just has a different brand name. The other one is a different brand name.
So it's just a different...
But it's the exact same...
The idea behind.
...thing. And when I talk, and I keep telling them it's the same platform even, because the person then starts using the word platform. And I said, no, it's not two different platforms. It's the same platform. They're like, no, it's two different companies. Yes, two different companies. But the product is the,
the
same
idea.
Product. Here's the thing there.
Yeah.
It's like someone arguing Nam Milk and Clover are two different milks.
Oh, no.
Or Clover and what's the other brand? The other milk brand that exists? Parmalat are two different milks. Oh, then you stand there thinking to yourself. In the consumer's eye, if it says dairy milk on one, and it says dairy milk on two, and it says dairy milk on three, doesn't matter what packaging you
it's
put
cow
it
milk.
In, it's the same cow milk. It's the same animal.
Yeah.
But if you came and told me, oh, Dwight's goat milk next to your standard dairy milk, then it's two different products. Because it comes from two different animals.
Yeah.
But if TikTok and YouTube come from the internet as its product base, then it's the same product. And it's dressed up in the same...
You download the whole thing, it's MP4 on both sides.
Man. You take videos on both sides. You project videos on both sides.
I think, now...
But anyway, yeah, you were still saying, Helmut, sorry.
No, no problem. Look, I think the discussion of nutrition is a very interesting one to have.
Yeah.
Like now, what I pointed out was that this is not the service that I have used. You know, this is not the service that I've used in the public sector.
Yeah.
Because I've never really explored. I mean, I wasn't near as interested in what I eat the way that I that I've been for a couple of years now.
Mm.
Is that every time that I go to see the doctor, the facility has a whole, department of, nutrition where you can make an appointment to basically see a nutritionist. Then you can have all kinds of discussions about all types of different foods and, different types of food and the minerals and that they have and how they are useful to your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this should be a basic understanding because when you talk about nutrition, the biggest problem that we have seen, especially when you look at it, when you look at it from obesity, is that you have a lot of, obesity is a first world type of problem. Because you are looking
at... Not really.
Why?
Because there's a whole bunch of obese Namibians.
Okay, where is that coming from?
Access to food.
Yeah.
Access to a whole bunch of food. Inactive lifestyles.
Access to food. That's an interesting response because access to food. So in other words, having access to food is not enough. You also have to go beyond understanding what to eat and how.
And the quantities.
And also the quantity. And how about this? Look, I recently also discovered that one of the main ingredient in testosterone production in men is zinc. And one of the highest source of zinc is, you think, some million-dollar type of food bought in France and Italy.
Mm.
No, it's pumpkin seeds.
Mm. Do you know what is also another dimension specific to help with fatigue?
Fatigue.
Like, if you become older, fatigue becomes a big problem because your body doesn't generate as much energy as when you were younger, for example, like in my case, and obviously people older than me.
Yeah.
The nutritionists, if you go see a nutritionist, they prescribe to you something known as the magnesium tablets or magnesium.
Oh, like supplements.
Yeah, supplement. And then you go and look up, what does magnesium do? Because magnesium is one of those
things. Yeah, I've taken interest in basically looking up all these things. Okay. You're saying that this is contained in this food naturally, by the way.
But here's the funny thing. Magnesium is one of those supplements that your body doesn't produce naturally. Or that you don't find in most of the foods that you consume.
Yeah.
Now, that's the reason why I mentioned magnesium.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned zinc.
Yeah.
Zinc you can access from some of the foods that you eat. But it's just a question of how much of that food
do you
buy
have to eat
to try and compensate for a kind of lifestyle you live. Yeah. Now remember, a lifestyle is a broad umbrella term I'm using.
Yeah.
You can be like someone like Dwight, who I do the work and then I just go home. I come to work or I attend the functions, you know, to gather content for our show and some of the other shows of our colleagues, and then, you know, submit the stuff. So it's field work plus also being at the office. And then at a certain time when we're done with our show, I just go home. I don't go anywhere else, Hamoud. I just go home to go and recuperate. Now, that sounds like a very, you know, routine-induced lifestyle, right? And then associated to that is also the kinds of food that I then access for sustenance. So what do I go eat when I go home? Or what do I eat for breakfast? Do I eat the catering then that's at the event where I find myself? Because I sometimes go, like, I would have a coffee when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
But then I go have an extra coffee and a water when I get to the event, if they have coffee there, you know. And then they would give, if I didn't eat breakfast at home, then I would access what they have on offer. Because it's sustenance. I mean, you are technically, you know, you had to respond in order to go get this content, and you didn't have time to buy breakfast along the way. So you need something to, you know, burn the energy. Now you access that food. Now that's your first meal of the day.
Yeah.
Now you have to find out at lunch, what am I going to have? Am I going to go visit the $5 peanut ladies here close to us? Or is it a scenario of I go see what is at home? Because when you look at people's like behavior in many scenarios, like from the 90s, how I understood and observed the adults at the time, many adults, Helmut, if they didn't have a lunchbox and they had a car, if they didn't have a lunchbox but they had a car, they would drive home. Guess who always did that? Many cases, it was the teachers. As a kid, you know, a kid and as a teenager on schools, I would observe the teachers. The teachers would literally, some of them would drive home, ne?
Yeah,
some of them would have kids, go pick up the kids, and then they drive home, and then they go have lunch. And if the teacher was like our football or rugby or hockey coach, the teacher comes back. So the teacher then obviously knew they didn't have a lunchbox. They could access food at home. They had food at home. They could fill up. They could top up. Energy is in your belly. Your belly starts now burning that energy. And then the person comes home. The person comes back to work. So now we get busy with the other programs during the school period. But lifestyle has now changed, let's say, from 2000. Now you get the young professionals. Now the young professional needs to budget physical cash.
Yeah.
Where they work to eat lunch at work or be in close proximity at work, which is technically what you and I do a lot.
Yeah.
We're either in proximity or we're on the move or we come from an event or we're at the event. And then, you know, after capturing content at the event, you get your food on the way. And then on the way, you come back to the office and mm-hmm. can finish with the rest of your tasks and work. Now, what I've explained to you is another routine in terms of how your life flows. Now, many people don't think this way. I was glad back in 2024, Helmut, when I interviewed Rolf Hansen of Cancer Association in the understanding of cancers and the proliferation of and the detection now of the cancers in the modern Namibian society since 2010 heading this way.
Yeah.
One of the most prevailing cancers that Rolf mentioned in that interview, Helmut, was breast cancer, and the higher rates now of detection of testicular cancer in men. Mm-hmm. And then you get the other cancers that sometimes fly under the radar, like the digestive cancers around the stomach, your large and small intestine.
Prostate cancer also flies
and prostate, under the radar which, a lot. Prostate, which is basically associated to testicular in a way, because it's most just in men. We're the one with prostate. But it's the prostate when they have to assess testicular cancer, they usually first started prostate testing.
No kidding.
Yeah, they first started prostate testing. That's why you're always, sorry guys, you're always advised to do the self-inspection yourself. It's the same thing for women. Women just have...
Except it's much more fun for them.
We're not...
Okay, what that's uncalled for.
Okay. No. Helmut, no. And I was serious, man. I was... okay.
Okay.
The bigger concern is usually, because I've spoken to, you know, like ladies I've dated, they take that advice serious for them. For us guys, I mean, you can ask any man in terms of if you look at like lifestyle.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did your own like self-inspection? It's an easy thing to follow. It's an easy thing to follow. You will find it the same consistent method or advice on the internet. Doesn't matter what internet platform. Doesn't matter what medical influencer is there.
Yeah.
If you find like a genuine doctor or website that comes from a medical facility itself, whether it's a national medical authority or a health authority in whichever developed nation, they will all tell you the same advice. It's the same particular way. You have to do the inspection yourself. But however, if you don't find any obvious signs, but you still have worries,
I don't think I know what I'll be looking for. I think you just make a doctor's appointment.
It's similar to like the inspection that the ladies have to do. You remember the only other concern women have, for example, like the other cancers that they suffer from.
Yeah.
Because remember, the inspection that I'm talking about is trying to find abnormalities that could be a precursor to breast cancer.
Yeah.
But when you come to like what the other thing that women can suffer from, which is the what's the one from cervical cavern cancer?
There's ovarian. I imagine those ones maybe you will require a professional.
Yeah, because then they would actually need to go to the specialist.
Yeah.
Now that's the same thing for men.
Yeah.
You can do the one inspection yourself. The second one, you ultimately, if you're not sure about things, you have to go and see a specialist, which is the prostate testing.
Yeah.
Which is basically just the finger doing this. Sorry for the visualization to our viewers on our socials, but yeah, on the stream. But that's what the doctor does. They do this.
So after that exam, am I still straight? Okay, anyway.
Okay, so where we were, we're still on the minerals.
Yeah.
So magnesium, Helmut, is a binding mineral.
Binding?
Yeah. So if you require, let's say your red blood cells require the iron mineral in your foods to connect or to bind to the oxygen mineral so that oxygen gets transported throughout your blood system. Imagine your blood system is a massive transport network.
Yeah.
And it transports the oxygenated blood on your left-hand side of your body and the deoxygenated blood on your right-hand side of the body. So meaning they have to run past your heart and your lungs.
Yeah.
So deoxygenated comes to your heart and lungs, and oxygenated departs from your heart and lungs. Imagine that as a terminal, as this massive transport terminal.
You know, sometimes we forget how much of a logistical hub we are.
Yeah, it's because people thought that biology was complicated, but biology, many things in the world that in the man-made world emulates human biology. The car.
Yeah.
The aeroplane.
Yeah, all the bunch of parts that have to cohesively work together.
And not one part is more dominant or important than the other part. Which is the same thing.
One part goes malfunctioning, you need to see a mechanic.
And that's the thing with the human body. You can't argue that the brain is more important than the heart. Even though the heart just has one job.
Yeah.
But the brain depends on the heart. But the brain then also depends on the lungs.
Yeah.
And then the brain goes and depends on the whole digestive system below your diaphragm.
Yeah.
Because how does your brain get nutrients? Your brain can't just function on air and blood pumping into it.
Yeah.
So because there are other things that your body would need. Mm-hmm. So from that kind of an analysis, now if we just stay on, for example, like the supplements in foods, magnesium is a peculiar thing. Now, I thought when I asked my younger brother, because he's now trying to, firstly, I keep grilling the guy and trolling the guy about his, about his little aftak situation, or like I used to call that other senior guy that I worked with. He was a designer. I used to call him like his aftak situation. And he was like, right. Actually, I kept calling him. And the other senior designer, you guys look like two pregnant men. And they were like, Dwight, we will find you at the gate now. So the scenarios from that is when you have to look at how the modern lifestyles now of some men look like, they now realize that their body is no longer at a younger stage, more flexible, more elastic as it was, like your muscles, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, Helmut, I get weird muscle twitches here in my shoulders, and I'm like, it's a what's going on with this? And then every time you just have to tell yourself, okay, Dwight, learn to stretch a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because this is obviously, as age changes happen,
yeah,
you will start seeing more of these particular mobility issues show up.
Knees. So
it's always knees, hips, shoulders, arms, and then later on, as you get older, mm-hmm, your back naturally starts.
So you have to be active physical-wise there all day long.
Well, if you go with what the Chinese offer you, the Chinese will tell you, and yeah, that's on the Chinese health practitioners, and the yeah, time that I also interviewed the Chinese medical team that was based at Karatura Hospital,
yeah,
they left just immediately after that interview for the China Corner for February. And there's a new team now. Those guys in that discussion, I had a pre-meeting with that doctor. That yeah, doctor explained, listen, the basis behind much, the philosophy behind much of ancient Chinese medicine
yeah,
is primarily for you not to seek medical assistance, but for you to ensure that you have this positive approach to the maintenance of your body.
So you have to,
which includes diet,
yeah,
which includes activity,
exercise, yeah,
or being just mobile and active,
yeah,
and which also includes potentially just having you know, a more positive perspective, because psychology, what Western medicine now has developed better than ancient Asian medicine,
mm-hmm,
is that the Western medicine has realized, but the mental well-being of the person
yeah,
is also a large contributor in terms of the total package of the person that you see in front of you.
Yeah, let food be thy medicine, ancient yeah, Greece.
So, no, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can be someone that that was born with a medical or with a health issue. Major
yeah, medical condition,
issue,
because some of them are genetic.
Yeah,
you know,
but you can be the most contagiously positive person on the planet.
Yeah.
So, those things exist.
Or, so a combination is it's a combination of what you eat and the physical activities you do and your mental your mental well-being also, which contributes to your basically psychological health. So
yeah,
you're looking at your physical health and which culinary, which basically fits into the physical health
yeah,
and your psychological. There are a lot of aspects that must come together.
They are. Now there's a final aspect. A final aspect which technically I realized is a massive determinant also, for example, like in a country like Namibia. Now, let me be honest and say, we are not, and I'm still relying on Anicia Peters' and NCRST's research of 2024 about the research and development. Namibian academics, we need to start training more academics who then have to look at the overall well-being of Namibians. For example, Helmut, why have you not heard much about skin cancer in Namibia? Just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Mr. Hansen from Cancer Association, he might have better data than that. But in terms of exposure to sunlight and ultraviolet light, which is part of sunlight,
mm-hmm,
how many times have you heard, for example, because Kavango East, Kavango West, much of the north of Namibia from
yeah,
from the Tukavango regions heading eastwards into Kunene and from the Tukavango into Zambezi is a predominantly tropical but very humid climatic
yeah,
scenario. When you're here in the central parts of Namibia, now I'm just stopping at Windhoek,
mm-hmm,
you get a elevated positioning of the landscape of central Namibia. So I'm talking Ochotonjupa into Komas. And the situation there is the air is thinner, it's dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you are close to the sun. Maybe a small deviation, maybe. But if you go on the other side of this mountain pass into Hartap and Karas,
yeah,
the sun is a lot more brutal there than the sun is here and in Ochotonjupa.
Oh.
The sun is a lot more brutal there than here. So climatic conditions play a major part. But I'll tell you a story that my sister told me once, Helmut, about an Englishman that she and her friends met at a restaurant here in Windhoek. So it was like a game night, you know, when people go to You know, when these some of these bars and the restaurants try to have like activity nights,
mm-hmm. you know, yeah, like karaoke,
yeah, karaoke and game nights and quiz nights and stuff like that. So it was a quiz session, and she told me the story of an Englishman, that has been in Namibia for at that stage, like in for 5 or 6 years, but before he came to Namibia, his doctor, his cancer doctor, gave him a year to live. Because he was a cancer patient that came from the UK to Namibia.
Yeah.
When he came here,
so it was that advanced.
Yes, he had a year to live. The man was given by his own doctor a year to live with the, how advanced his cancer situation was.
Mm.
Homeboy comes here, he tells that story now to my sister and her friends, and I hear almost another story, and then I ask her, "What? How is that possible?" Because from the knowledge, the things that I've seen and read, it's usually like, you know, the doctor's prediction is pretty spot on. So what's up?
Like, what's up as in why he was traveling in that advanced cancer condition?
Well, you will never know as an airline. You will also never know as an immigration facility. So the person probably, you know, like those guys that love having bucket lists and stuff. I don't know. Some of these 24-year-old, 21-year-old or young ladies and guys don't understand what a bucket list is. A bucket list is when you are kicking the bucket.
Don't understand. Yeah, well, you're going to kick it someday. So you want to, you know, you have a series of things that you want to do before.
You can't say I have a bucket list if you're 21. But anyway. A bucket list is only when you are close to kicking the bucket.
I didn't know that.
Now you know, Helmut.
Yeah.
So, one of the dimensions is regular exposure to sunlight. Your body generates vitamin D naturally.
Yeah.
From sunlight exposure. Vitamin D helps with organ repair. You don't eat vitamin D in food, Samut. They sell vitamin D supplements in Europe. Places with very cloudy.
A lot of sunlight exposure.
Yeah. Or that is deficient of sunlight.
Yeah.
And Namibian has a better advantage at life. And many people in the northern hemisphere, because you're exposed to more sunlight radiation, your body generates
basically so it's a defense mechanism.
Basically, it's a maintenance mechanism. Not even a defense; it's a maintenance mechanism. But it's now not to say go walk bare chested around every day, guys. Asaplief, muna unisa ka kutlop tuni. I'm not saying that. Please. I'm not a health professional. Yeah. But it's things that I've read. Vitamin D, exposure to sunlight on your skin generates vitamin D. Vitamin D is a cell repair vitamin for your body.
Yeah.
Now, not many of us knew this. I also now eat a lot more yogurt and cheese and butter. And I don't drink milk just straight up. I drink it a lot only in my coffee and tea. Why, Helmut? What does yogurt have? Mm. Yogurt has a specific enzyme in it that helps your digestive tract so that you don't develop, when you get more advanced with age, the colon cancer, the small and large intestine cancers, you know. Because the biggest problem about those cancers is that there are food particles still stuck in your digestive tract. Now, the idea is...
So, it's literally what you eat.
Yes. That is basically building up the poison or the reaction or the mutation. Because
so that's why it takes a very long time of you basically torturing your body with food before you realize that, you know what, what you ate 20 years ago is now taking you to...
Yeah. So
for a medical exam.
That's why now the cereals include a lot of fiber, because your body can't absorb fiber. Fiber just flashes through. But imagine the flashing through mechanism or activity, it leads to. Yeah, it's usually a visit to your favorite solitary confinement.
Yeah, it'll give you diarrhea promax.
Now, yogurt also helps with healing of the digestive tract. Oats helps also with that. So not even though oats can be absorbed by your body, wheat bix cannot be. Okay. Your body can absorb the nutritious value that oats has, but your body cannot absorb what that other product, wheat bix, has. So it just depends on you.
So I could be eating a lot of all kinds of wrong stuff, and it's wreaking havoc, and I won't know until 5, 10, 15 years down the line.
Helmut, framing. Technically, you're not eating anything wrong. There's no such thing as eating something wrong. Do you know why? Do you know what your body runs on as a fuel?
I'd give you an example, but we'll get fired. Anyway, go on.
I'm not even guessing. Okay. What your body runs on is three fuels. That means, doesn't matter what you eat, your body will always break it down into these three fuels. Your body loves, technically, by default, it runs on sugar molecules.
Yeah.
So, just you sitting there, your heart is a muscle.
Yeah.
Your heart is burning sugar molecules. Your lungs, this activity of breathing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of muscles involved there as well. You just don't realize it, as we all do. It's burning
energy.
So it's burning a sugar molecule from somewhere. Now, if there's no sugar molecule from a food source that you just ate for lunch, then your body goes and looks for stored fat between your organs. So if you look at Dwight, I'm slightly, you know, overweightish here, like in this region. Sometimes also here underneath your skin, your body loves storing fat underneath your skin. Those are your storage facilities on your body. Your body goes and gets those fuel sources. If you didn't eat, then it starts burning that fuel source.
Yeah.
Now, if your body doesn't have that fuel source, Nahamud, the last fuel source, which is technically a kind of cannibalism that your body does, is your body then starts burning protein. Now, your muscles are made from protein. You remember the survivors of the concentration camps during World War II that the Americans bumped into, like Auschwitz and Dachau. You remember what those people looked like?
Yeah.
Now, technically, as we know, starvation is a torture mechanism under the Human Rights Convention. Yeah. But if you look at it from a scientific perspective, right, that person standing there, skin and bone, or for example, even like with the Somalia conflict, you know the famous photo about the vulture and the baby?
Yeah.
The photographer who took that photo, guys, he technically went insane. There's a movie about him, but he went insane. And he started becoming
he take his life?
He did take his life after an extended period of drug use and abuse. Because during becoming the depression and insanity scenario, he also started using narcotics to try and deal with that issue. And then the suicide was the final straw. So your body is kind of, just to stay alive, your body is busy burning your muscles every time. If you've ever seen someone that suffered like a severe diarrhea,
I think it was in 2013 when one Japanese medical expert Osumi won a Nobel Prize on that for a scientific experiment that has been running since the 1980s.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the early 1990s. It wasn't until, 2013 to 2016 there. Yeah, he won a Nobel Peace Prize for proving the process known as autophagy. And, when you are fasting, the amazing thing is that in the medical community, it's already known that your body is optimized for survival. It doesn't have one major, one source of energy. It has a multiple. In other words, when one is cut off, for example, when you eat, it takes about maybe 4 hours, and the food is digested. Then another maybe 4 or 5 hours, and the energy from that food and all that nutrients is used up. Mm-hmm. So then it starts shifting to other alternative food. So there's no food in the stomach. This person has not eaten. So then it shifts to your fats, your stored fats, for example. When the fats are exhausted, then it moves over to those, old cells, sort of like recycling them. But on the other side of the break.
Okay, my turn.
Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
My man,
you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm. Just be more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshe fa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. You're still listening to a Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, and we're talking about food security and nutrition. And I think, you know, if it was a few years ago, if I read this report, I would have assumed that, you know, the only type of food that has all kinds of healthy nutrients and minerals are those, you know, fancy type of food that you find, you know, that you find in your grocery stores. Don't get me wrong. Eating healthy by buying everything in a grocery store, that's going to cut deep in your budget compared to, you know, to what you categorize as a, what's this, you know, processed food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now take for example, if you were to buy, your avocados and which is a natural plant-based fat, which is, you know, your healthy fats. And you can get your spinach, your cauliflower, your broccoli. All these things are loaded, they are loaded with a lot of plant-based nutrients, which your body, which your body needs.
Yeah.
Lemons and oranges are loaded with vitamin C, and vitamin C is good for your immune system and all that. Now, when you look at it, it becomes somewhat interesting that all these things that you are looking at your table, especially in their natural form,
yeah,
when they are not processed to the point that puts a preservation for maximum profit that we like we do today. One thing that you see is that it has all types of raw materials that your body needs to carry out all kinds of of chemical reactions to keep you to keep you going. Now, back to my Yoshinori Osumi example. Yoshinori Osumi proved that basically proved it, the health benefits that comes with fasting, not starving yourself to death. But fasting, first of all, it gives, it's good for the pancreas because it, it doesn't have to constantly produce insulin to balance your blood sugar. But the part that is still fascinating a lot of medical professionals today with regards to its, at least not fully understood benefits is how the factor that when there is no food in the stomach and or the nutrients coming from the food that you just ate to use as a source of fuel for the body, and there's no fats available. If you are if you are built like I am, then you don't have you don't have a lot of fats to go around. So what the body does is once it has exhausted all fuel storage from the food in your stomach, fats and all that. The last resort, like you pointed out, is it starts eating basically you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now that eating you part is what, and it's, unless you starve yourself to death, which don't. Take, for example, you're going, the process of, I think autophagy kicks in somewhere around the hour 18 to 20, 18 to 24, somewhere there. This is where then your body basically starts scavenging itself to look for, it doesn't go for the healthy cells. It goes for the old ones, those ones that are malfunctioning. Gather them around and sort of like recycle them, which now, Osumi, as a medical expert, found that process fascinating and thought maybe it can have, and it's still being studied today with regards to its true potential.
Yeah.
There's
like mixed reactions to both, Samut.
Like
the pro and the con.
Yeah, they are pro and con, which is why, which is why I'm pointing out that, all the sources that I've seen keeps pointing out that it has both pros and cons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's still being studied with regards to see, to realize like in which direction are we going to lean more in terms of adoption for medical purposes.
Yeah.
But a lot of fasting enthusiasts, you'll find a bunch of videos where people say, I've been fasting for 5 days. Yeah. Count me out of that one. Look, my relationship with food is too much. No.
Oh, mine is a deep romantic relationship for the better part of my life, you know?
Yeah, I know. Now, here's the thing. So I think it's the basics of human anatomy that like eating and what different types of food nutrients what roles that they play in your body.
Yeah.
All these things seems to be they should be standard in terms of the knowledge of it with regards to everyone knowing about it. But from the look of things, we don't really know much about it, and I don't think that's because of lack of knowledge, but it's just misaligned priorities. Because if you look at it, countries that have that seems to have access to food, left, right, and center seems to have the same issues, health issues, just a little different to the to those ones being suffered by countries that don't have that don't have access to food.
Yeah.
You have you have malnutrition taking place in countries that have a lack of food, and you have sort of like the complete opposite of that, which is more often obesity taking place in countries that have with people that have more access to food than countries that than countries that are that don't have access to food. So so the problem here is I think nutrition here must become a daily discussion. Because whether that country has access to food or not, health issues seems to persist.
Now, let's throw in another curveball into that point that you just cited there, Hamoud.
Yeah.
The health issues persist, yes. If you now start from the first point where the food comes from, it's a discussion, for example, like in Namibia's context now. And you can clearly see this is a confusion discussion about how to deal with malnutrition in Namibia. At the heart of that, I still have to find out if I still have that document, but it was also FAO, Embassy, Government of Japan analysis alongside Ministry of Health and Ministry of Agriculture 2 years back, 2024, when they announced the adjusted budgeting to interventions for malnutrition and Namibia's agricultural, development programs.
Yeah.
Because it was split into two, that event. There was, can you believe it, Hamid, at the same time there was a Ministry of Agriculture event right next door to a Ministry of Health event, and the same project was tied to both events happening at the same time, right next to each other at the same venue. So the UN and the ambassador of Japan had to walk from here next door at Minister of Health to come here to the other event.
To attend another event.
Basically on the same thing. Because
I mean, I like the proximity.
Yeah, the proximity also makes it easy, but you almost know there is a media person, you have to start at the one event to find out that the Minister of Agriculture is at next door, in the hall next door, also about the same particular project that technically tries to deal with the same particular issue in Namibia back then in 2024, which was the malnutrition thing. But then when you and I did the malnutrition discussion back then, we realized that the data was based off 2 years prior, 2022,
mm-hmm.
technically making things outdated. Now, from that dimension, coming now to where we are, you can clearly see malnutrition, it was not about telling the green schemes be more disciplined, have better administrative processes, and be more accountable for your functions in the broader Namibian economy.
Yeah.
It's not about growing more food, Helmut. You and I immediately identified it right here. What was the concern?
The means
to access the food, because we even opened up the today's show like that, where you go to any shop right close in your
proximity. The aisles are full of food.
There is food. There's various ways of preparing the food. You find preserved food. You find packaged food. You find freeze-dried.
You find fresh produce.
You find fresh. You find semi-processed. You find processed. You find all kinds of food. Now, where did this label come? And that's also the other thing. It's one of the arguments that I had yesterday with that other person. It's the narrative that people drive. So, if a news outlet says malnutrition in Namibia, now any person viewing or reading or seeing that thing or that headline would think
there is no food.
All Namibians are hungry. But then they come here and they see Dwight here with his nice healthy cheeks and stuff. Then you start throwing political labels like, yeah, he's privileged and so. But no, I just know how to probably budget my salary every month and then buy my food every month and consume on a daily basis.
By knowing how to properly budget, he means he doesn't chill, so
yeah, or entertain.
Yeah, doesn't have to worry about waking up to a receipt that says you spent $1,000 on a bottle of alcohol. You know, you can get drunk for way less.
In your own room, even. Or in your own place where you stay.
Way less.
Or way less. But anyway. Yeah. So,
you know, especially if you know, yeah, I mean, you tried on Biki. How much was that?
And that one was free, ne?
You see? That's what I'm saying.
That one was free, ne? So I'm saying, woke me up the next day.
So I'm saying, you can get dragged away.
I spent the whore. Look, some of these traditional brews. Now, if people are going to brew stuff, please put warnings on there that it will catch you tomorrow. At least we know with the Western alcohol, it says, drink now, feel happy today, or feel happy right now, and deal with the consequences.
With the hangover,
no one told me that this Ombike thing will catch me on the side, will catch me on the side of my face like a sledgehammer. The size of that old mutual tower there in the center of town. Yeah. No one told me that the sledgehammer is that big, that it literally wakes you up. How much have you ever been woken up by a hangover? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever consumed something?
Mm.
You are fine up until midnight. You go sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That it wakes you up almost like an alarm clock at 5 a.m.
Mm-mm.
Through a headache that says, hello, I'm here.
No, I've never been that drunk.
Now, here's the thing. I did not know I consumed something so potent that wakes me up at 5 a.m. telling me, hello, I'm here. Today, Dwight, you won't even taste that coffee because you will just have the worst day in your life. But anyway, I overcome that pretty quickly with Powerade. So in many cases, what people also have to realize is that When we look at the direction of how information is disseminated, the kinds of information that's disseminated, what you're doing to the information, basically, it obviously takes a dimension that we've got to interrogate. Now, here's where the next level of interrogation gets into. This particular State of Food and Security report, Food Security and Nutrition Report, they state here that the cost of a healthy diet, introduced as a benchmark indicator in 2020, obviously with the pandemic at that time, because much of the concerns of global governments were, minus some African spots on this continent, because there was no COVID-19 reporting taking place on certain countries in the continent.
Yeah.
Many of the governments at the time back then were asking the question of how will people survive if they aren't allowed to go to work and spend their money and make money as they used to do in 2019. The concern was the cost of a healthy diet allows for consistent and comparable monitoring of the minimum daily cost of purchasing locally available foods that constitute a healthy diet. But then you get weirdos. So I showed Helmut during the last ad break, dear listeners, a social media post. No, not a social media post. It was a digital news article. But I actually first saw it on a YouTube video because there's this guy, American guy, who has his own YouTube channel, and he makes it about influencers and streamers who just have harebrained crazy moments.
That are basically taking everything to the extreme.
Yeah, but it technically leads to them having to deal with the law, and the law teaching them a lesson about the realities of their actions. So the channel, his name is Atozi. Atozi explained about this influencer. She's a Russian influencer, or was. She passed away. This Russian influencer by the name of Zana Samsonova, who died of starvation, but not because she did not have money to buy food or she did not have food. This was her diet, guys. After eating for 10 years only raw fruit and vegetables. That thing that I explained to you, what your body does to you, if you don't give the body what it needs to function, starts cannibalizing you.
Yeah.
There was a last photo of hers, Helmut. She was literally skin and bone. We remember the reference that I told you about the concentration camp survivors that the American soldiers bumped into in the forests of Poland and East Germany?
Yeah.
That's what the woman looked like. This woman. That's what she looked like. She's holding a fruit there while living in Malaysia. She was living in Malaysia, mind you.
Oh, okay. But for 10 years, that's long enough time to realize that
It says she wasn't even drinking water for 10 years. She was living off the moisture, the water particles found in the fruits. How do you not drink water?
Isn't that a mental disorder at that point?
I don't know, brah. But technically your water contribution to your bodily functions is the key factor for your bodily functions.
You are about 70% water.
Yes. So how do you ignore the water?
No, what she needed wasn't fruit, so she needed a doctor.
The other doctor, the one that looks at personality and malfunctioning elements.
A cuckoo type of,
And a straitjacket.
Yeah.
With a straw on the side of the mouth, yes.
10 years?
10 years.
No,
skin and bone.
That's actually amazing because when you look at it in a way of how long the body was fighting left, right, and center to keep her alive.
Do you know what her mother explained
to
this news site, Sky News South Africa, UK? Her mother said Samsonova died from a cholera-like infection that was made worse by her restrictive diet. Now, when she became to factor in what happened here. Also with those guys that love vegan and vegetarian goederse, for you guys as well. What the nutritionists... Because nobody goes and talks to the nutritionists about what happens to your body in terms of you having your defense mechanism dealing with infections, diseases, and illnesses. So, your body relies on those nutrients it extracts from, let's say, red meat, to produce a certain kind of reaction to building up your immune system against, let's for example say, the common cold. But then, if you leave out that specific protein that comes from animal products, animal protein, and let's say you just pursue, what other protein
plant-based.
Is it? Just peanuts. You just eat peanuts
as
your protein substitute, or soya as your protein substitute.
Yeah.
The thing is, that plant has that peanut as that protein, and meat has another protein. It's not the same protein that you're substituting.
I've come to learn about a plant-based type of. I think that's the tricky thing about plant-based type of minerals, especially the proteins that you just pointed out. The body has trouble digesting it or absorbing it, one of these two. not completely, you know, like trouble digesting or absorbing it, like trouble in comparison to a meat based one.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when you look at it, that means you have to take both. It's actually recommended you take both so they complement each other.
Yes, or like what the FAO basically started their abstract or the executive summary on, have a balanced diet. Aye, not balanced. It should be balanced. It should be healthy.
Yeah.
But it should, but in there, point number one, let me just be sure. Point number two is balanced. Point number one is adequate. Point number three, it should be from diverse food sources that you can access. Point number three, moderate. I'll show you another indication, Helmut, of poor nutrition, for example. And this is a personal example of what happened in a sports sense. And at the heart of sport is access to food.
Yeah. Nutrition is a central part of it.
It's a central part of, because your body burns food, burns energy that comes from the food that you eat.
Yeah.
So, on primary school, I got exposed to potentially having the opportunity of playing trials. Okay, I did play in the trials, but the trials to be selected for the under-13 national rugby team at the time. This is 1997 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So 1997 was also the first time that us as a collection of boys from a boys rugby team, under-13 rugby team from Rehoboth, because Rehoboth at that stage was classified as a rugby producer by itself, separate from the rest of the regions.
Mm-hmm.
We were the only one that was constructed like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hartab had its own team, but Rehoboth is in Hartab. So the team of Hartab came from Marindal. Karas had its own team, but Karas' team constituted out of players from Karasburg, players from Kietmans, and potentially players from Ludrits. And then if you look at the other spread specifically, everyone else was region-based. It's just us, the Rehoboth team, that showed up here as technically as a district or constituency team. But that was not the first thing as an under-13 ball rugby player that I noticed. The major thing was specifically the size between us and the predominantly white teams that we played against.
Mm-hmm.
So who we first met in the first round was like 2 weeks before, like when all the regions come together in Windhoek. We had to play a sort of like a southern-based competition first in, like it's like was like a warm-up tournament to everybody playing against each other in Windhoek.
Yeah,
we had to first go to Marindal, so that's where we met Windhoek East, which is this part of Windhoek, like a constituency. We met Windhoek East. It consisted mostly of the boys from the boys' school, rugby playing schools of Cederhof, Cederhof. It was the other school, the Pioneer Park School, Eros Primary School, and there was a fourth one, because Windhoek West had Van Rijn, had Orban, had, and there was another, and Emma Greef in it. So we show up in Marindal. First thing we noticed, because our coaches were making fun of us, he said, yeah, you guys are too tiny. Imagine a bunch of grown men teasing these under-13 boys, like, you guys think you are the top dogs here in Rehoboth, ne? You guys will find out what is big rugby players. So we told them, because these guys are our senior guys, you know, that they're all grown men, your teachers, your coaches. They're like, okay, what are our coaches talking about? Until we saw. Now, this was Windhoek East, Hartab, and Karas. We were the four teams competing there in Marindal. We see the size difference. Okay, the Hartab guys and the Karas guys were comparable to us. But the immediate thing, if you think about it in hindsight, was you could clearly see what was a negative against us in Rehoboth is because of potentially poor diets. Poor diets.
Mm.
We were slightly smaller built than them. Some of us, you know, we did have access to food. But then it's also what you are eating, which is the poor diet analogy that I'm highlighting here. At that age, at that specific time frame, when I was 13 in 1997, I ate a lot of peanut butter and jam sandwiches. A lot. I had for breakfast pap and milk. you know, basically, you know, a staple, basically, in many households in Namibia.
Yeah.
But potentially what was lacking was that I probably had very little access to protein. But I had access to protein, but it was only like at nighttime or on Sundays, Sunday lunches, meaning animal meat, animal protein. When we came to Windhoek 2 weeks later, okay, firstly, we recognize the frailties, the realities that we were suffering with as an under-13 boys team. We come to Windhoek 2 weeks later. We meet the biggest shock. The Windhoek West team at that stage. He was 13, Helmut. I'm not lying to you. He was 13, Helmut.
Yeah.
He was the number 8. This guy that played against us. Yeah. At my age in 1997, I was considered as being having a growth spurt.
Until you ran into
And I was played in a certain position in the forwards in that under-13 team. The guy that my actual position at that time was, I was a loose forward, my actual position, which I was most comfortable. Now, a loose forward is usually shorter than a number 4 or number 5 lock. The guy that was number 8, which is a loose forward, was twice the size of our locks, heavier than our locks, could run faster than most of us in the team. It's only our backline that could catch up to him. And he was a number 8 as a 13-year-old boy. Kara showed up with a guy that whose shoes were specially made for him. His feet were too big. His feet were too big. His shoes were specially made for him. That's how big of his feet were.
Doesn't genetic have to play a role?
Helmut, that's the biggest lie. Genetics. Really? It's the biggest lie. It's food. Nutrition.
No kidding.
It's food. I'll tell you another example. Mm-hmm. So that then we then see further shocks in realities. we were literally like the Marines in the alien movies. When we come across the aliens, you know, we can't understand what is this thing. But you go from one movie to the next movie, you just find shock to shock to shock. You just shocked through for a phase of like 3 movies. I get to, what was that other discussion? Yeah, I played club rugby when Polytechnic attempted its club rugby formally, and we were like the first fully fledged team at the time. This is 2006, yeah. So there was a competition the National Rugby Union, the Namibia Rugby Union brought in. It was a 10 minute a half competition.
Yeah.
It had a corporate sponsor. So we had to play on the one football rugby club in Comestal Stadium, field, Western Suburbs. So this was a Friday night match and it was a whole bunch of, because it's a short format, it's not the full 80 minutes, it's just 20 minute matches. You could pack in like in one night, like 3 matches. So our club had to play first against Wanderers Rugby Club at that stage. Wanderers showed up with a guy, Helmut, that I would have considered playing in the forwards. But this guy is playing in the back line. The size of that man's one thigh, Helmut, is my 2 thighs together. And then there's still technically extra on that one thigh. That day, I was, you know, when people have trauma about certain events in their life, now.
Yeah.
That day took me back to 1997 when we were just outclassed like in the physics of the game, in the forward scenario. But this day, now I'm telling this now, my fellow, you know, the other colleague, because we had an Angolan guy playing as wing and he had to play against opposite that winger.
Yeah, like brutal.
He had to play against that guy. I feel sorry for the guy because he also had to play with Chuck Taylor's on, you know. He didn't have football boots. So we had to make a plan. We told him, listen, his name was Nelly. Nelly, whatever you do, since you are also big and muscular, at least try and tackle from the sides. Don't stand in front of that guy. That guy will just mow the lawn with you. So... Helmut, you know, if you've ever seen a bus, run through 15 players.
Oh, man.
Just one player, run through 15 players, because obviously his access to nutrition, the nutrition he had access to, still carried him through up to that age of 21. you, if there's not, if that, that's why in sport, sport is so brutal in showing what nutrition does. What nutrition contributes to the human body.
Yeah, and you see this with, you know, with professional sportsmen and women. And, you know, they have a very, you know, they are very up to date with what they, you know, with what they have to, with what they can't and cannot eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, you know, all the meds and supplements and all those things. But especially when it comes to diet, they are on top of their game. And this is something that Lewis Hamilton pointed out, that you know, every kg I gain is going to, you know, is going to give my competitors an edge.
Yeah.
To yeah, because you know, you also have to understand that every you know, every kg you gain is going to be a disadvantage for you in the race. So your weight is something that you strictly have to watch. Mm. And he's not even running, he's driving. Now imagine athletes.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, this report, what it defines as a healthy, now it defines healthy diets as a, healthy diets are those that meet four core principles that are universal in application based on human biology and underpinned by evidence.
Yeah.
They should be, one, diverse, which is which means composed of a variety of nutrients of nutritious food across and within within food groups. Two, it should be adequate, as in it should be in essential nutrients and bioactive compounds without you know, without excess. And three, it should be balanced in dietary energy and its main sources, i.e. fats, carbohydrates, and protein. And the fourth one should be, it should be moderate, as in the dietary components that are detrimental to health when consumed in excess. Mm. So I think, you know, what you have here is that basically means they can be too much of the good stuff.
Yeah.
I think this is where, you know, this is where, I think, to some degree, the obesity now becomes a discussion.
Obesity's biggest curse is the sugars. It's not the fat.
So the biggest problem is the sugar.
It's the sugars.
So fats are not your problem.
And fats are not your problem. Because you get plant fats and you get the animal fats.
Yeah.
Your body uses both. Your body technically only consumes the animal. Because the animal fats are good. Your body will burn it immediately.
Yeah.
If you look at like sunflower oil and what's that plant oil that comes out of Canada? Canola. Mm-hmm. Canola oil.
Yeah.
Those oils, your body can't absorb them. Margarine, your body can't absorb margarine. And margarine is made from sunflower seed oil or canola oil.
How does it get rid of it?
It's like fiber. It just
goes through.
Just goes through. But if you look at it like a bread spread, butter.
Yeah,
your body absorbs butter. It breaks the butter molecule down because it's an animal fat. The concern when it comes to the sugars.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the story about the famous how breakfasts became breakfasts. The famous story.
Believe me, I don't.
Which was the Kellogg, remember the Kellogg story?
Marketing taken to a whole another level.
Which is technically more profound than the other example, the one about women smoking.
Women smoking and the engagement ring with the BS,
basically. Because the Kellogg's story was that there were too many farmers producing, it was monocrop culture, basically. It was monoculture.
A lot of people farming with maize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they needed an outlet. What are we doing with this excess maize? This excess maize led to them ultimately, or the guy from Kellogg's, establishing the Kellogg's company, establishing your famous cornflake, which is basically a dried out, squashed millipit or a maize pip, you know? And they needed to sell this. So they went on a massive advertising marketing campaign.
Yeah.
And this was also telling the world, you need milk with your breakfast. And to make this combination further, there was a whole bunch of sugar producers. Mm. Well, now you throw the sugar on your breakfast with the milk.
Sugar plus sugar, basically.
With sugar, with starch, which is a sugar, plus the milk, which also has starch.
Also has sugar.
Also has starch in it. So technically, that's how breakfast became breakfast in the world.
So you basically have a whole a pile of sugar coming from three different sources. The disaster there is inevitable.
Because if you ever wondered why, for example, like with the Kellogg's product now, you've got the basic Kellogg's corn flake, but then you've got Kellogg's Special K, which is the all brand flakes, which is the fiber. Now, the fiber, your body doesn't absorb the fiber. But these two are, but this one is just a, you know, it's a starch molecule. Yeah. So it's technically a sugar molecule dressed up in starch. Your body absorbs starch because your body burns, converts that, which is, what is the three plant? It's fructose, which is fruits, glucose, which is the basic sugar, overall sugar molecule. You get sucrose, which comes usually from like the sugar plant itself.
Hence the word sugar.
Yeah. But all of them come from plant. Fructose, glucose, and sucrose. The animal products like milk, they do have a sugar molecule in it. But it is closer to the sucrose than the glucose molecule. But it's a sugar molecule nonetheless. But it's way smaller because the plant's main goal is to produce the sugar molecule. Like, for example, also with the fruit, the fructose. Fructose is in the fruit. Even though the rest of the plant, which is like the branch, the leaf, and the stem, will have a glucose a glucose molecule in there. But you have the fruit is literally has its own sugar molecule. Now, that particular concern is now also a thing of looking at, okay, your body is getting just basically an energy stimulant every time. Think of it like an energy, like a Powerade or a Red Bull or a Monster drink. I mean, that's what your body is constantly getting.
I mean, and if your body is constantly getting that,
it's just energy that it's continuously burning.
So your pancreas has to constantly balance that sugar.
Basically.
So 5-10 years down the line, diabetes type 2 kicks in.
Basically, because you're just overloading with sugar. Which is also some of the other bigger concerns of why you sometimes get diabetes in children. Some children are born with a thing because the parent probably overconsumes.
So
hang on a second.
So things like diabetes are also hereditary.
In a way, yes. In a way, no. Why do I say this?
Because
you'll have.
Because I'm just trying to understand how it appears in children.
Because you'll have to understand the lifestyle of every single person on this planet.
Oh boy.
It's like cancer. It's like cancer, Helmut. Understanding cancer, you can't go and say because, like for example, in my own case, my mom passed away from cancer, but I could have helped her because it was technically, how I understand it, leukemia. I could have given her the bone marrow. But if you go look at now another kind of a cancer, like my mom's sister, which was my godmother, it was a cancer that spread throughout the body. And it came from a specific part. I didn't know from where, but I knew that what technically was the giving up point was primarily it had spread where she had it before.
Mm-hmm.
It spread from one point and it went through the rest of the body. And in some cases, you can identify a hereditary scenario like leukemia potentially, maybe, it depends. Yeah. Or you can look at just the person's lifestyle. You can start from that person. You look at their lifestyle. Now, why I said yes or no with diabetes, for example, is that let's say it's a father. Yeah. The father doesn't have any traces of that blood
medical condition
illness. Yeah. But then his son gets it. But let's say the father is from a generation where they had suffered many deprivations. They had poor access to poor diets. And because the body was constantly like in survival mode, you know, trying to live off every particular food molecule that it gets hold of, the body didn't have the chance to be comfortable and unfortunately develop another illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because predominantly what you would see with older generations is the major illness that they suffer from technically is a heart attack. Or they don't report that they've got cancer. Then the person just becomes sick. And rapidly declines.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see some people running to social media. Oh, things are happening. But they don't ask the hard stone cold questions of the doctor.
Just witched.
of the doctor to ask, you know, what actually happened to my dad, my mom, my uncle, my cousin, my older brother, older sister, stuff like that. You then expand that into why I said the yes and no. So I knew he's now a young man. Okay, he would now be in his 20s. Yeah, he would be in his 20s now. I saw a photo of his mom and his dad before, after I was told that he was, as a young child, he was already diagnosed with diabetes. His diet was controlled. But the unfortunate thing is, Helmut, he was a slightly obese kid, as a young kid. And then I got to understand why. First thing that you got to look at is lifestyle. How comfortable is the lifestyle? This is a kid that unfortunately is, whose parents probably put everything at the forefront as a young kid. Or it's a scenario of, where did they also grow up with? And if your parents technically already didn't have very active, let me use a very political term, a very active lifestyle, meaning didn't regularly walk to try and make sure that your body gets its regular miles in terms of pumping the blood, because it's technically walking helps with the heart.
Yeah, it does.
Then first and foremost, you can obviously just start putting a timer down in terms of, you know, first indications would start always with the heart. You then cascade and then you look at the kids of those people. Yeah, if the kid has like a very skinny build, you can say, okay, that's your natural size. That's you.
Oh, no, that's me. Everyone is worried. You know, every time I go jogging, my friends like to make fun of me. Everyone is jogging because they want to lose weight. What are you planning on losing? Life?
No, but here's the thing also, Helmut. When we look at the jogging scenario, in some cases, you also have to ask the question, is the jogging necessary or do you just have to walk?
I just like endurance.
Endurance overall?
Yeah.
But in terms of also just, you know, for you to just get your heart rate just at healthy levels, the walking is just sufficient enough.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's why you sometimes see a lot more senior people doing a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Like, for example, late at night. Like, what was that one time? What was it back in 2020 when I started at Eagle FM? I had to call when Joseph Shikongo was like the regional commander for Comas.
Yeah.
So I had to call him for a comment about, what's happening with all these Vandukars that are now suddenly during COVID.
Everyone wants to go jogging.
Everyone is jogging, cycling, walking around. And then he said, no, it's healthy. People have nothing to do, actually. But the thing is, now we're all outside where we were all told be inside.
And I think it was during COVID-19 that's when I learned that reverse psychology works.
Yeah.
You know, when you tell people to stay indoors, they want to go out. When you tell people to stay, well, okay, you know what? COVID-19 is over. You can argue. No one jokes anymore.
No. Helmut, no, they still persist. Namibians still do it. You just have to wait until summer, because then people are trying to achieve the summer body situation.
Yeah, you know.
But then you see it's husband and wife combos.
that's something that I had, Justicia when she was still here, you know, making fun of people that go jogging. That.
When it hits October, no?
Hang on a second. I didn't know that you guys have turned jogging clubs into Tinder.
I didn't know that. That's news to me.
You didn't know.
Maybe I should explore that avenue. Maybe.
Well, just put on a pair of shorts and go jogging. Sorry.
Yeah.
The thing is, I only do that during weekends because Paul, I'm working. I'm not a morning person, so. For evenings, I'm here until 7. I'm not jogging after 7 when it's dark, because I know that jogging is gonna turn into Frank Frederick really fast, escorted by Tura Boy. So I don't want that.
Motivated,
you know, Okapi squad. The thing is,
061. You have to use the area code, Helmut. Area code.
Thank God for the commercial break.
Thank you. USAFE's customers love combos, right? Well, for just $589 Namibian, you can get 10 kilogram Champion Super Maize Meal, 10 kilograms of Bokomo Fed Cooked Flour, 10 kilograms of Marathon Brown or White Sugar, 5 kilos of Nice Rice, plus 1 kilo of Grande Pasta. That's just $589 Namibian for 5 essential products.
The ShopRite Group buys bulk, so you can save. Yes, we all save at USAID.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Where was I? Yeah. Welcome back. The time is 17 past the hour of 6, so we're still here until the hour of 7 as usual. Dwight has to, skedaddle to go and attend some events, and I'm allergic to events, so just gonna, take you through the remaining of the home run discussion, which is the nutrition report, food security and nutrition coming from Food and Agriculture Organization. But before we continue with that discussion, let's take a live read. The Vilvicha University 2027 applications are now open. Faculty of Health Sciences programs. Certificate for enrolled nurse, midwife / accoucheur level 6, a certificate of pharmacy level 5, diploma in environmental health science level 6, bachelor of social work honors, bachelor of nursing and midwifery science honors, a postgraduate diploma in community health nursing level 8, postgraduate diploma in occupational health and safety level 8, postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing level 8, master of public health, Master of Occupational Health and Safety. For more information, call 081-403-6406. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever. So why I pointed out, it's been a while, remember when I asked Dwight when last he was at Single Quarter, I know he hasn't been there in a while. Now, it's my favorite place I'm sending you guys an invoice because it's this place where I like traditional food. So it's my go-to place when I want to just shop for traditional food. So you'll find all kinds of, dried beans, all kinds of, dried traditional veggies and stuff. And that's why I started earlier on by pointing out that you don't have to break a budget in a sense that we more often think about every time that we talk about, eating healthy. And I'm talking about, this report basically from a Namibian perspective because I'm one of those people that had the perception that for one to eat healthy, they must spend this amount of money that is just on a whole another level. Take for example, I pointed out earlier, one of the, uh, one of the, uh, the important nutrients that you need, that that you can just easily get, that you can easily get and very affordable. I think it's very affordable. Take one of my favorite being garlic, for example. Now, garlic is good for a lot of things, including your blood. It's good for a lot of things, including your blood. Eggs are good for a lot of things. Garlic has, garlic is rich in manganese, vitamin B6, vitamin C. Now, for the vitamin C, we all know, for those of us, that did basic biology, know that vitamin C, your go-to vitamin C source is lemons and basically oranges. Your citrus fruits, basically. And now you have and it also has, selenium and fiber. Now, all these things are basically the raw materials for your body to build anything that you have, whether it's blood or your saliva, your muscles, anything that you have, your mucus and everything. It needs to be produced using raw materials that's coming from your food. You will have to supply it, otherwise you're going to be deficient. It's not rocket science, but it's either we are obsessed with a Western diet of fast food. Don't get me wrong, like I pointed out earlier, I have my favorite Western food. That's something that a lot of people don't actually have a problem wrapping their minds around. Of the whole long list of Western food, why would someone choose pizza? Well, after all, it's just flour with a sprinkling of tomato and cheese, but it's the art of sprinkling that just makes it very Italiano. But now, the thing is, I think fast food was intended for you to eat when you are in a hurry, not when you are lazy to cook the whole week. Because it's not nutrients dense in a way that your whole meal that is actually well thought out would have. And I'm going to focus more on traditional food here, because or the type of food that we often refer to as traditional food. It has all types of nutrients that you think you'll find in a shop somewhere in Italy. It has all that. Take your omega-3, for example. There are supplements that comes to that have basically labeled with that. It has all kinds of advantages for your body. But which source omega-3 is very, very important for a lot of things, including your brain. You know which one, which type of food, which is also readily available in Namibia, has that fish. As long as you are not just selling it in large amount to buy iPhones with 2 SIM cards, if you are eating it, it gives you that vitamin, omega-3. If you are just selling it for iPhones with 2 SIM cards, the person selling you the iPhone will get all the omega-3, and you will be, you will be vitamin, you will be omega-3 deficient with your iPhone with 2 SIM cards. Anyway, and you have, now, for garlic, for example, I buy garlic, there are 3 bulbs for $15. Last time I checked, the recommended consumption of that for garlic is maybe 2-3 bulbs, and also don't see your nutritionist. About 2-3 bulbs on average. So you are not going to eat the whole, bulb, otherwise, because, the report and the points out, too much bad. Too less bad. So you're trying to find the moderate here. And ginger is one of those things. And also by ginger, I buy my ginger from the same meme where I buy my garlic. It's about $5-10. Now, I'm pointing all this out because every time that we think about eating healthy, we more often picture ourselves buying, you know, all kinds of fancy food. If anything, our definition of fancy food more often means processed, which is not what is being referred to as a healthy diet. It's good to eat, but in excess, as in replacing your entire lifestyle, is a terrible idea. Now, I'll give you one disadvantage of garlic, at least that I've, that I have experienced. I eat about a bulb or two, about maybe 4 or 5 times a week. And, and don't worry, we can have a conversation. You'll never know that you'll never know that I eat garlics because, well, there are a lot of, well, you don't have to chew the whole thing. If you chew, you chew 2 bulbs of garlic, the whole winter is going to know you ate garlic. But, the thing is, at some point, I eat it raw. So, I think about 2 bulbs raw and then I used some of it in the food so it became a little too much. So it gave me heartburns. So, it's a recommended good healthy diet, something, a good healthy food to add to your diet, which is garlic. But I had too much of it. I paid the price of one terrible, terrible, terrible heartburn. So, whether it's good food, whether it's natural food or natural healthy food or processed food with questionable health standards, too much of it is just terrible for both. So it's not just about the lack of access to food. So it's about it's also about knowing what to eat and in which amounts. Because, well, we all know that if you want to build a nuke, just mix eggs, very healthy. Beans, very healthy. They are good for your kidneys. Combine those two and you have Hiroshima. Are they terrible food? No. It's not the food that's the problem. It's you, the person that ate the food. You are the problem. Now, and also, I've also come, become fond of, transversing basically in between chia and flax seeds. And now, they are healthy. Again, in large amount, terrible idea. In small amount, terrible idea. What is the moderate? Again, see a nutritionist. Helmut is yay tall and yay small, so his daily requirement is not going to work for you in terms of either medicine or food. So, which is why, what you consume is going to be unique to you. Chances are very high it's going to be so unique to you, it won't be similar to anyone you are related to, even if you're a twin. Chances are very high that's going to happen. Because it all depends on you, yourself. And what you are built out of, what your body requires and all that. So, before I start saying, I don't have money. Really? And at the end of the month, when you have that, small amount of money, you go straight for fast food. Seriously, at this point. Are you unhealthy because you don't have money or is because of your shopping choices? I would like to swing by single quarters and get Mikapana from here. Except it's dark, so no thank you. And I would like to, to get pizza on my way home. I can't because if I do that, I'm not going to have food the next day. Because I've spent, my budget for the remaining 5 days worth of food. That's just a terrible, that's a terrible idea. So, back to the report. There is a strong evidence that such diets that, like I pointed out, back to the top, Healthy diets are those that meet four core principles that are universal in the applications based on human biology and underpinned by evidence, scientific evidence. And they should be diverse, different types of food, and they should different types of food obviously means different types of of nutrients, and they should be adequate. That means they should be enough, not just tiny. Speaking of which, I found myself at I'm not sure if that was a Hilton Hilton Hotel Hilton or Avani. They had some very tiny chocolate, a tiny cube-shaped chocolate, about yay small. My homeboy and I, being, insane sugar consumers, just looked at, they had an often, all-you-can-eat buffet, and like, hallelujah. Okay, so it's like they were paying me twice. So it just, so I just looked at their, menu and looked at some of the prices, like, holy cow. That, for food, that's my food budget for the entire month. It turns out, you can have that for a meal. I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's go for the buffet. Home enough. It's Wednesday. And they were, they're very small cubes type of chocolate. And we looked at the size and we judged the book by the cover. Like, this can be, the moment you put that thing in the mouth, it's like it has, a 5 kg of sugar. And that's when we understood, that explains why they are this small, because, man, this is a lot of sugar. So to have a healthy diet, according to this report, they didn't say go and buy your food in, Woolworths. No. There's actually not much of a difference from the type of food that you find in your grocery stores and what you call your, your traditional food that you buy at, Stop and Shop, for example. From a basic nutritional level, they are not as different as we always make them to be. I know this is the power of marketing. And it's actually a genius move. And I started learning this from, realizing this from alcohol. People don't spend $1,000 on a bottle of alcohol because it makes you drunk quicker. It's just a flex because Ombike makes you drunk quicker at a very, very, very much cheaper price. So if all people were interested in was getting drunk faster, they would go for Ombike. They go for all kinds of Western brands that is costing $2,000-$5,000. Because they want to flex. That's it. It's marketing 101. Works all the time. When you market something well, people will spend it. And I'm told that when you buy one in one of these, alcoholic beverage establishments, hot chicks will bring that bottle of glass for you, a bottle of alcohol for you with some kind of, lights and a special song. It turns out you are not just paying for the bottle, you are paying for the four people that are going to bring one bottle. You don't need four people to bring you one bottle, but it's the aesthetics. You are paying for the moment, which is why I just game, because it doesn't make sense to me, in the very same way that gaming doesn't make sense for you. In the that's the same way that four people bringing one bottle that costed me $3,000. I always tell my homies that, if you guys want to get drunk on a budget, I know a place. Until then, you guys can just go ahead and chill. And they are party animals, believe me. Now, so for a type of food for a meal basically to be classified as a healthy one, it's not even rocket science. It must be diverse, aka different types of food. It doesn't matter which type of food, they just must be different. So, my people, this thing way in a do way in a they do pap every day, yeah. This thing also, no be healthy, you no be healthy. I'm not saying don't eat pap. Actually, I'm one of those people that like to tell my friends that even if I marry a Chinese, she's learning how to cook pap. Otherwise, that marriage is not going to last. My relationship with pap is top-notch. But do I eat it like my life depends on it? Actually, my life depends on it because it has a lot of energy. But mix it up with something, you know, in between, especially in the direction of relish. That's where we change things up every now and then. You know, today is fish, tomorrow is, you know, beans, you do peanuts, or you do milk the next day. But pap is the default option. One thing I like about Africa. So, dear wife, you better know how to cook pap, otherwise that marriage. We'll get married in December, January, where the masters, where the High Court is saying, my lord, it is irreconcilable difference. This one, so can you fix it? I'm the one that will say, my lord, this one we can't. And I'll make sure we have a black judge so that he can understand. So that when the judge asks, my son, what makes you think you can't fix this? My lord, believe it or not, she can't cook pap. Then my lord will be like, yeah, say no more. That is unacceptable. Where does he sign? Just, I came with 5 pence just in case one of the, or two of them doesn't want to work. So, a variety and diversity and adequacy, aka enough. So, you want different varieties. So, beans today, peanuts tomorrow, and, ongome the next day. But speaking of which, this is why I don't like to talk about food, because my relationship with food is top notch. Now, pardon me. So you are looking at it must be diverse, it must be adequate as in it must be enough, it must be balanced as in don't have 5 kg of one and 500 milligrams of the other, which makes a lot of sense. So it must be consumed in moderate. In other words, don't eat it like you are dying the next day. And this is us every month end. Every time we come month end, we buy all this Western food and we just sit there. We call it spoiling myself. Definitely not talking from experience. And, you walk in pizza in and then you order, extra large and, triple stack with all kinds of everything comes in extra. And you are sitting there like, you are mad with the, you are angry at the whole world that you don't want to talk to anyone until you finish. Like, really? I mean, I like pizza, but not like that. That's just, that's pizza. That's pizzaid. So, now, the reason behind this recommendation, according to the, Food and Agriculture Organization report, is that there is a strong evidence that such diets that come in different variety, that involves different different types of food and in moderation and, well balanced. You don't have to buy a calculator. This is where I like, grandmas. Grannies will cook you the most delicious meal. They didn't measure any of it. You find us in the kitchen today with 5 different spoons that have different labels. This one is 500 milliliter. This one is 200 milliliter. This one is 0.5 milliliter. So you are just looking at measuring, but you're still terrible. The food still comes out terrible. And you go to the village and you find your grandma cooking. Not a single ruler or calculator in place, but the food is hallelujah. So clearly the measurements is the problem. How can you be terrible at cooking with all the measurements in your kitchen? I've met people like that. It's scary. Actually, I am one of those people that will measure everything. No, I don't measure. The only measurement I do is testing for salt, which is more often like, if I'm, I live alone, so you say, take, I want to cook, meat for the day, I'll make sure there are 5 pieces of meat in the pot. By the time that I finish cooking, there are only 2 pieces of meat. The 3 have been used to test whether there is salt in the pot. The beauty of living alone. It's beautiful. Anyway, there is a strong evidence that such diets are essential for health, for the health of a population and the growth and development of children and enhanced a livelihood worldwide. Yet unhealthy diet patterns persist worldwide. And that's actually my favorite part. Because what's being indicated here, and this is why I keep pointing us into the direction of think traditional. Maybe just a few supplements of the food that is not traditional to you, like and I'm not saying, you know what, you know, just go and get this and that. No, I just want us to think traditional here, because believe me, what we don't like to eat, because, well, you know what, I don't eat traditional food, I'm allergic to, you know, the traditional food, no, I don't eat that. But do you eat sushi? Yes, I do. You do know that sushi is traditional food, right? Just not your tradition, it's a Japanese tradition. But, you know, and you know, the stupid thing is, these are the idiots that speaks fancy English. And they can't tell the difference that, well, everything is traditional to someone. Now, obviously it's been pointed out there's a strong correlation, and I don't think you need science for this to know that there's a strong correlation between healthy eating and your overall health. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Like, it's a no-brainer. Despite all this type of knowledge, despite the internet and access to information in terms of anything that you want to read up on being at the fingertips, because everyone is walking around with a smartphone these days, we still have problems, and these are problems that are being observed in terms of nutritional wise, that are being observed in both developing and developed countries. Lack of we basically don't know how to eat, especially in a lot of countries that have, how to put this, countries that have access to food more often don't, they don't know how to eat, most of them. But they're still those, I think this is where, as Africa now, we are very fortunate, because we still practice subsistence farming. Because from subsistence farming comes a lot of, naturally grown, organically grown traditional food that is just, has all kinds of nutrients that you find in a lot of types of food that you find in your grocery stores. Now, imagine if we're living in some of those developed countries, where you don't have the traditional food as an option. That means your only option is fast food because of their affordability. And that affordability of fast food, because of they are loaded with sugar for the most part, is one of the contributing factor to all kinds of medical conditions, including, you know, your diabetes, your obesity, all kinds of issues. All kinds of health issues. So, I want you to be proud right now that if that you have 2 options. You can either go for fast food, or you can just swing by single quarters and get pretty much any types of traditional food. And our cultural diversity here even gives us even a much, a much wider, spectrum in terms of option. You can go for all kinds of traditional food that you want to go for. You want to go for Zambezian traditional food, Kavango traditional food, Damara traditional food, Ovambo traditional food, Herero traditional, just go nuts. Bottom line is, it's there. Now, again, let me take us back to the point that I just made earlier, that imagine you don't have these options, which is what is very, what's being observed in developed countries. They don't have the option. Subsistence agriculture is not being practiced on the level that we are practicing it. So they don't have traditional food as an option from fast food.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250ml jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750ml Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile kumberewa mbra hetatu natu mbali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM VI.
Welcome back. So let's wrap it up. We have 14 minutes. So I just decided to look up, something that I grew up eating, which is very, traditional to my region. We call it ngongo. For some reason, Google just decided to give it mongongo. What you call mangeti. Mangeti? Really? Did not know that name. It's a type of traditional food. At least traditional to me, and a lot of other African, Africans basically, judging by the different types of names that's being used to describe it. Just the oil alone. One thing that I find fascinating on the correlation between between the culinary industry and the cosmetic industry is that you have a lot of cosmetic products that are literally made from food. I have a hairspray that's made from olive oil. Don't ask. I like my hair, but my friends are beginning to complain that, it's just too, and my head is also not helping the case. And now you have all kinds of oils that are literally made from food. The cosmetic industry's main supply in terms of their main ingredients is the food industry. Well, it's basically everything traces back to what? Agriculture. So instead of of just putting everything on your skin, your body saying, okay, you know what? Instead of just applying everything on top, you could just give it to me, and then I can just perform magic for you from inside. It turns out we needed the World Food Food and Agriculture Program to tell us that we actually need to do that. Come on, I've never actually thought of this because our stupidity as a species, by that I mean human beings, is we have taken different types of food and then we processed them into ointments that we apply on the surface instead of taking the food and cooking it and then eating it for the rebuilding to happen from inside. We want to shine from outside while dying on the inside. This stupidity needs to be studied by science. And I'm pretty sure they won't go and very far to find out that the stupidity actually, exists. I'll give you one example. You can look it up. I found it on social media yesterday. That it turns out people that have an extreme obsession with celebrities. Are less intelligent than those that don't have obsession with celebrity. my favorite comment section in any of those videos that I watched on that on that topic was, and this of course is coming from it's coming from America. Now my favorite comment in the comments in the comment section, which a lot of people kept pointing out, was, you all needed a research to preach this gospel. I mean, I would have told you this from the get go. Now there's a difference between looking up to someone and being obsessed with someone. Take, for example, I like take, well, 50 Cent, for example. Don't worry, in a heterosexual kind of way. We're both straight last time I checked. So, now, here's the thing. I listen to his music. I watch some of his interviews. But I don't want to know what 50 Cent had for breakfast today. Who is he dating? Is he, how many kids does he have? Really? Why? Oh, you know what? Taylor Swift got a new boyfriend. Yeah, right. And that's important to you how? Oh, no, you know what? That's important because from this year to this year, he dated this one and then this one and they broke up on, okay, wow. You know, if you just put that amount of energy into your own life, you're a human being too, you know that, right? And you are just as important. No, I'm that important. You see, that's the problem. You like a total stranger so much, you don't even value yourself. I mean, when someone pointed that harsh reality out, because I was about to argue with the report, with the researchers, like, you know what, there's no way this is true. You can't just go around, calling people less intelligent. When he pointed that out, it was like, you know what, you make a good point. You know, if someone likes a total stranger that doesn't even know they exist more than themselves, yeah, that's a sign of, that's less intelligent, right there. There's no other way of putting it. So, the type of food that is traditional to me. Ngongo oil. Everything that has oil is going to be good for your skin. Turns out it's also a product that, it's used in the cosmetic industry. You can just eat it. There's a woman at home that makes this, wonderful for me. It's called my mom. She's awesome. Now, and you have your topical benefits of mongongo. I'll just call it ngongo. Now, it has a linolenic acid, which contributes to skin and hair health. Huh? See? You don't have to fly to Paris to eat some fancy diet for you to have good, healthy hair. All you just have to do is get yourself a Kavango guy or Kavango lady or a Kavango guy if you are a woman, or Kavango lady if you are a man, or a Kavango guy if you are a guy that swings the same direction. You get the point. And then I don't know how I do this, kind of make this for you, but anyway. You're gonna have some awesome ngongo oil, which is good for your skin and good for your hair, which is why I said just think traditional. Second one, it has vitamin E and has a potential of anti-aging effects. You're afraid of getting old, you're afraid of all the wrinkles and stuff. Ngongo, solution for you. The third one, zinc. Which may treat acne and Alzheimer. Eczema? Whatever the heck that means. But zinc, like I pointed out earlier, is also good for what? It's also good for your testosterone. Gentlemen, you want something that will help you build your testosterone better? Ngongo. You're welcome. And it is also rich in magnesium. Now, magnesium is an essential mineral present in mongongo oil that plays a crucial role in containing healthy skin. Now, the mineral is involved in various production of enzymes in the process of a lot of enzymes, and contributes to structural integrity of skin cells. That's from mongongo. no, it, I mean, it just keeps going. And it's a, my God, it accelerates wound healing. It has a palmitoleic acid. Boy, now that acid with a name I'm never even attempting again, has a, now that it's a fatty acid that is found in various plant oils and including macadamia oil from hazelnut oil and also you guessed it, ngongo, with its moisturizing properties and is also very good for what? Wounds healing. All that's coming from ngongo. I mean, it's your traditional food that you thought it's not healthy. It is healthy. You are just the idiot that did not try to find out first what nutrients it has before classifying it as unhealthy. And it has amino acids that promote this website is just dedicated to one important feature of ngongo. That's how good it is for your skin. Hallelujah. Oh boy. It turns out the cosmetic industry is obsessed with this product. Really, 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 really obsessed with this product. So the health benefits of just one traditional food is already having all different varieties of benefits to your body. So, wanna eat healthy? Don't think, basically, I think the advice that comes to, that goes to both developed and developing countries is one of, if you are going to, if you are thinking traditional, if you want to be healthy, think more natural food and less processed. I'm not saying no processed. And I'm saying that because God knows I can't pull that off. No processed. Hey, no, absolutely not. From time to time, I just want to get a whole bucket of dangdoings and fingers crossed, someone's daughter and eat a whole lot of sugar and honey, whatever it is that they used to cook that thing, but holy cow. Now, or just get a double stack large with extra barbecue, extra cheese and just eat and have a few beers and go to sleep. But, that shouldn't be the lifestyle. So the mistake we have done is we have turned what we should be eating occasionally and we are eating that all the time, and we have taken what we should be eating all the time, and that's why what we are eating occasionally. We have flipped the script, and as a result, we are paying the price, a health price for, And the problem with the issues that are arising from health, from not eating properly, from not eating healthy, is not going to show up the next day. It's going to take, diabetes takes about 10 to 15 years before you start seeing the first signs. By then, it's not good. And basically look down to people with these conditions. And I have a lot of family members that basically have these conditions. And I've come to learn that they are actually, hereditary. So, we have come to the end of our show for today. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. When you think eating healthy, like I pointed out using the ngongo example, think traditional food. You're welcome. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. Thank you for listening to Eagle FM. Yeah. Thank you for listening to Home Run.